In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord takes. It is not pleasant or fun, but the Lord takes away the gifts that he gives, and the Jews hated him for it. Their chests puffed out just a little bit when they spoke of Abraham. He was their father. His blood ran through their veins. And yet Christ called them children of the devil. They did not share the faith of Abraham. They did not rejoice to see Christ, even as Abraham rejoiced to see him. They did not follow God, but rather they picked up stones to kill God. Christ took away what they loved most. And yet he did not leave them empty. He gave them his words, which are truth and life, and they mocked him for it. He longed to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks, and the chicks turned to kill the hen. Abraham's seed had come, the promised one whom they had waited for 2,000 years. The kings and prophets spoke of him. The consolation of Israel had arrived, curing the lame, the sick, healing the blind, the mute, the deaf, driving out demons. And they were content to wallow in their sinful filth. He made them feel bad about themselves. He made them feel guilty. So they attacked him to kill him. They could barely find two witnesses to agree, for they knew he was perfect. He was God. And yet still he had to be dealt with for making them feel this way. We know he is God. We confess he is God. He is perfect in every way, free from sin, free from blame, without fault, holy and blameless. All that we have flows from his hand. He gives out of love. We don't deserve any of it, but he has opened up his grace to pour out on us innumerable blessings. And even if we don't have as much as the neighbor next door, he still has provided for us daily. Scarcely can one of us say that a day has gone by when God has not fed us or put something over our heads. God takes care of us. We expect him to protect us and guide us. We expect him to feed us and to nourish us and to heal us when we are sick, and he does. And so we get a little bit confused when he starts taking these things away. Little by little, the Lord takes it all away. We spend the first 20-something years of our lives accumulating stuff. We're excited to have our first cell phone, to have our first car, to be able to drive, even. We're excited to purchase our first home. And while these things may not be the biggest and the best, they are still ours, and we see them as a gift from God, and we love them for that. And so it does hurt when our car dies and we finally have to get rid of it. We are a little bit sad when we lose a pet or our cell phone breaks. But it's nothing that we can't easily overcome, for these are minor things. Yet they still are examples. God is still teaching us through them to not hold on to things of this world, for they do not last. It is a bit more challenging when God takes away our good looks, our hairlines, or we develop wrinkles, and there's nothing we can do about it. Many struggle to cope with these things. God takes away our strength, our energy, our health through old age, and also at times throughout our life through various sicknesses. Children even get sick. We see them weak and lying in bed, sleeping for hours. And it hurts us. But there's little we can do. And although God heals us from our sicknesses, there's still a little taste of death. A little reminder that God will someday take away our health. God takes away our children as they grow up and move away, perhaps far away. With technology, it's a wonderful thing that we still can see them and talk to them, but it's just not the same. No doubt it is the most hard and difficult on us when God takes away something and we never have the hope of getting it back on this earth. A spouse dies, a child dies. Our energy is just gone. The strength, non-existent. The disease is terminal. None of us expects to live young and healthy forever. And yet not one of us wants to be that invalid who can't even make it out of bed to use the bathroom. It hurts to see them like that. It hurts to go through it. And then we look around their room and we see pictures on their walls and on their nightstand of when they were young and vibrant and full of life with their family and friends and all the things that they did. Then it finally hits us. They were absolutely no different than we. That could be us someday. It hurts to see them like that. God has taken away everything from them, and He does not always do it gently. "But I'm enough for you," He says. He does everything for our good. He ages us for our good. He may even leave us in a decrepit state, and it is still for our good. We must learn that He is enough. We must learn to live by faith in His word. We must learn that He is our health. He is our strength. He is our life. Life is not breathing air. Living life to the fullest is not going on vacations or doing the things that you have on your bucket list. Life is fellowship with Christ, a holy communion between God and man. And so even if we can't get out of bed, we still are living life to the fullest using the things that God has given. And we still eagerly await that day when we shall see Him with our own eyes. And so you are not headed toward death, because God doesn't lie. You are not headed toward death. You are headed toward the fullness of your life in heaven. The journey is not fun. It can be quite painful. Even more so when the sinful flesh fights tooth and nail. It hates God that it would make us feel this way. It hates God that it would leave us at the mercy of others, completely dependent on others, or worse, incapacitated. Who does He think He is, taking away everything we work so hard to accumulate? We search around for a stone to throw. Would it just not be better for us to die than to be in such a condition? What purpose would we have just lying in bed all day long? Why must we go through many hardships? Why does God take so much away from us? Because He is enough for us. He is all that we need. We must learn to live by faith in His words alone. When the body becomes worthless and we see no purpose for our life on earth, God is still glorified when we live by faith in His words. "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Satan says. Because life is not found in breathing. Life is found in our communion with Christ. And He is enough for us. Our times are in His hands. He is more than enough. He is our resurrection. He is our life. And even when He casts us down to the ground and strips from us everything that we love, even then, He still comes to fill us up gently with His life-giving words. "I am before Abraham was born. I am your God, and yet I am the seed of Abraham. The knife was raised over you, the verdict was death, and yet I am that ram caught in a crown of thorns, sacrificed in your place so that you might go free." Do not turn your eyes away from Him, lest you lose sight of your salvation. The Father took away everything from Him, everything from Him, and the Son willingly laid it all down. This is why He came. He is your God. Yet He came to bleed, He came to die. In the beginning, he separated the dry land from the waters, and now his flesh is separated from his back. Strips dangle because of the scourge, because of the curse. He spoke this world into being. Now he can barely lift his beleaguered body to speak. So great is our sins. So great is God's wrath. And yet uncomplaining he carries on, our guilt and burden bearing, until finally he breathes his last and gives up his spirit. He breathes his last so that he might breathe into you the breath of life and you may live with him. His hands go limp so that he might cradle you in his arms regardless of what challenges you face. His all-seeing eyes are closed in death so that he might look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. His heart is emptied of all blood by that spear so that you might fill it back up. Is this not enough for you? He gave his life so that you may have eternal life. Would he then really leave you in the dust of death? He has washed you with his own precious blood in holy baptism, saved you through the same. Would he then really leave you in a state of hurting? He loves you. He takes everything away from you so that he might have more room to fill you up with himself. He makes you weak and humble so that he might exalt you to the highest heights of heaven. He has not lied to you. You can find no fault in his words and actions. He is still your God, your Lord, your Savior, your Passover sacrifice. And so the passion account of our Lord is not simply a story about him, but it's a story about you. It is the story of your salvation, your life, your happiness. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death, and you have been raised with Christ through the same. So you are children of Abraham, because you share that same faith as Abraham. You are children of God, because you have been justified freely by his grace. God will continue to take things away from you. He may give some of it back to you at times, but not always. He will take away your health and your strength. He will take away your friends and, yes, even your family. He will take it all away and leave you with absolutely nothing, nothing that is except himself. And as he strips from you your breath, he leans over to whisper into your ears, "But I'm still enough for you." And so you cannot die. You can't. Christ has died for you. So you can fall asleep in Jesus' arms, waiting to live life to the fullest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.